Hello, my name is Ross Daly.
And I'm Angela Cox Daly. I have been a musician since birth. And
I started playing when I was 11 in public schools in grade 6. Started violin and added piano when I was 14 and went from there, basically.
I started, I asked Santa Claus for a violin when I was not yet 3. And he brought me a plastic violin, and apparently I cried and cried and cried because it wouldn't make sound. So my mother borrowed a 10th-size violin for me, and I do remember starting with just basic open strings. Then my mother got me on piano for a year, and then my violin started a year later. So I was 6 when I really started violin, and started doing competitions and all sorts of wonderful things.
Angela's from Scarborough. I'm from Etobicoke.
We met in the middle in a youth orchestra. I was 16.
And I was 18.
And what happened is I had this humongous crush on Ross for 3 years, and he had no clue because he was going out with someone else, and I was very, very shy, unless you put a violin under my chin. I was socially quite inept. So it wasn't until university that we became an item, and I nabbed him for our string quartet, and we had very similar schedule in classes, which really I was thrilled about. And we ended up getting married 8 days after we graduated from University of Toronto. And a year on our first anniversary, I was very, very fortunate to win my first audition, which was for second associate concertmaster here in Kitchener-Waterloo in the symphony. One of the happiest days of my life. I've been a member for 32 years. And resigned a few years ago, and just cherished every minute that I had with the KW Symphony. And then what did you do?
What did I do? I went a different route. I did classical music for quite some time. I played in the symphony here in Kitchener for a few years. But then I branched out. I went to California and studied with the Turtle Island String Quartet. And they don't play classical music, they mainly jazz and poppy kind of stuff. And that turned my attention in a different direction. I came back from that and I started inventing my own ensembles, Celtic band, jazz group, Latin ensemble, and then it went to Oktoberfest music and the Celtic bands I mentioned. And basically went from there. Then I also was promoting these groups at trade shows and bumped into another promoter who was producing tribute shows to artists such as ABBA and the Bee Gees. And he got me involved in that on electric violin. So I've been part of that stage show since 2001. And it's literally taken me all around the planet on tours, and it's been an exceptional ride.
I get to brag a little bit about my husband. So he went into this. It's completely new to us as violinists and symphony and classically trained. And he adapted very, very quickly, went on tour with the band. It was eye-opening for me. And then the producer found out that Ross's wife also played the violin. And so the back line, there are 2 backup singers, so he thought 2 electric violins on the other side of the stage would be kind of cool. And so that was terrifying for me, but also life-changing. And Ross orchestrated the full ABBA show and the full Bee Gees show for Symphony Orchestra, and has conducted Winnipeg Symphony 3 times. We played in San Diego with the symphony there, Mexico, Florida. And so that is a pretty incredible feather in his cap, and I'm so proud of him. And often we pick up, we played at Casa Loma with a small Casa Loma orchestra, which is a fantastic event. It's just so life enriching. We have three children, and yes, they were all required to do some amount of musical studies in their youth. Our eldest son basically played violin and switched to viola and was in the senior youth orchestra and did a side-by-side concert with me, which was a proud moment for us both. And he's now a physiotherapist. And then our daughter, all three kids played in the youth strings and the youth symphonia, which has been tremendously enriching on violin. And they did Kiwanis, and they weren't overly thrilled to do it, but it was a very good learning experience and quite necessary. But they all did it for fun and very involved musically at school with band and choirs, all of them. So that they had a great, great school. And Julia has also played in the ABBA show and for a couple weddings with string quartet for her friends. So it's very enriching to see our kids. And occasionally our youngest will even come over and start, pick up the violin and start playing by memory the last piece he learned in his little short violin career. So that's always kind of fun.
And here we are.
What was it like to be able to play together and then also with your children?
Oh, it's wonderful. We get to go to work together. So we get in the van, we have all of our gear, say, for an ABBA Mania show. And we have all of our gear and our clothes, and we hop in the van, and sometimes we'll get a tea on the way and pick up a friend or not, a colleague in the band. And it's like a date, because we get to go, and then we set up and do a sound check, and then we have a lovely meal together, and often surrounded by other people who are also awesome musicians, but very, very different from, say, the symphony and classical realm. They have different training and different mindsets. We've learned a lot from them. So then we get to have a late dinner, and then, we get all dressed up, put on makeup, wear high heels, which is a new thing since
I don't do that part.
And we get to play together. And every time we play, it's a different experience. 2 weeks ago, we played to a sold-out Massey Hall. And the energy and excitement, we were so pumped with adrenaline. We had a few friends and family members there. We went out afterwards, but we got home at 3:30, and we still couldn't go to sleep till after 5. We were just so excited.
Can I ask, when you're with these other musical groups, whether it's the symphony or the ABBA group, is there a family created there as well with the musicians?
Oh, definitely. They're your family on the road. Everyone looks out for each other, and we support each other musically and emotionally. Of course, there's a little drama now and then, but everything resolved.
Well, as there is in every family.
That's right.
And the symphony is a little bit different because it was very, very long term. When you get a tenured spot in the symphony, it really is your family, but there are many, many more family members. It's wonderful because people, they change their careers, they get a different job in a different location, so someone new comes in, so it's always changing a little bit, but then you have people that have been there for 40 years or more, so it is very much a family, and deep friendships. You play musically, you're there socially, you grow up together, you grow together, you grow old together.
So just, I wanted to backtrack for a minute. I mentioned I started playing violin when I was 11, but when I was 12, I'd fallen in love with the violin over that first year. And when I was 12, I knew at that time that I wanted to become a professional violinist and I wanted to marry a professional violinist. So then I went out and bought a second-hand double violin case so that we could put two violins in one case and my future wife and I could go to work together. And that's the vision I had when I was 12. And that's exactly what happened. And I wanted to have a family and be musical as a family. And everything has evolved in that direction. And it's been truly wonderful.
Why do you think that was so important to you, even at a young age, to have that musical family in your future?
I really believe that music is a special language that really speaks to your heart and soul, and that's something that I wanted to share with a family, and that's something that as your family members are enriched and steeped in the musical music and traditions and all that, that then they take that out to the community, so they're enriched with that experience, and then they can pass that along to people they bump into in life, friends, and their family.
Do you think it's a different experience to create music with your family? And is it a different result than you might have playing the same song with, say, just people you know within the music community?
Teaching your own child, which is what we did. We would, you know, teach, it works for some and it doesn't work for others. It depends on the dynamics. And same with students. You know, we have to adjust our teaching. Just the approaches, it varies from student to student, how they respond and how they pick up. So there's a little bit of a challenge in working with your children, but there has also been times that it's been a challenge when Ross and I have been working together, because we parent together, we eat together, we work in the office together, we do so much together. It's like we sit down at the dinner table and we have nothing to say to each other because, well, we've been together the entire day or the entire week.
With the kids, yeah, it's we were fortunate that we had good relationship with our kids, so that teaching them wasn't a chore, or nobody ran out in tears or got angry or threw anything around the room. Although sometimes it didn't sound very well, and you wanted to throw something around the room. But basically, the relationship was good, so we always had a healthy outcome from that. But I know that other family dynamics are different, so we were fortunate in that regard.
And we've also, you know, worked and performed with our children, not too often, but we did an entire family, all five of us playing for your father's memorial, which was quite beautiful. And we played at schools and at their schools with them, which has been wonderful.
Yeah, that's an incredible experience to, you know, to see your child growing from an infant to the point where they can actually pick up a musical instrument and perform with you. It's kind of mind-blowing when they get to that age and that level. Now they're, you know, they've become something that you had no idea what they were going to be like when they were first born.
I have a really, really interesting story that I honestly wouldn't believe except I experienced it. When three weeks before our first child was born, I was asked if I would solo with the KW Community Orchestra, to which I was very enthusiastic. Yes, please, I'd love to. So I learned Vivaldi's Spring and Winter. I'd never played them before, so that was a lot of time practicing to get it from zero to performing with an orchestra. And I was quite pregnant all through this, and I actually had to change my technique because my bow arm just like went right into the baby bump, and so I had to sort of change my violin to avoid that. So practicing, practicing, practicing. And it was not yet 2 years after my performance. So I performed, and 3 weeks later, our son was born. And we didn't listen to classical music. That was sort of work for me, and my brain went into work, so we just never listened to it. And the soloist came, and I was practicing the tutti parts for spring and winter. And this little boy came racing into my studio, saying, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, stop. I know this music. I know this piece." I really don't think there's any way that he could have heard it as a child. Other than in the womb.
Yeah.
Wow. What an experience that must have been.
Oh, I get shivers just thinking about it. I can be right in that room when he came running in. It's incredible. It's mind blowing.
What role do you think music can play in the lives of families who aren't as musically talented as yourselves?
There are so many elements to musical education. The discipline, the routine, that was the thing. And that's the number one. When we have a new student, we talk to the parents. The most important thing is setting up a routine so that they practice a little bit each and every day possible.
For those who are, as you say, not maybe as musically inclined, it's very easy for some people to, say, pick up a guitar, grab some lessons, play three chords, and even if they don't sing in tune, they can still produce music that's enjoyable and share with people in the family, and then others will gather. And I think that's a tradition that used to exist, and I hope it still exists in families where, say, at Christmas time, people gather and somebody will pull out a guitar or an accordion or whatever's they have in the house that they play, and they'll start playing and singing, and then other family members will chime in. So singing really is it's something that everybody can do, and it doesn't have to be at a high professional level to do it and enjoy it. So when you add somebody who can play a few chords on the guitar, now you're creating an ensemble with an instrument, and it goes like that. So there are musical roles that basically anybody can do. And then for those that are really not able to do that, then, well, let's put it this way, we need audience people as well. So there's people on stage and there are people in the audience, and without both, we don't have an event or a concert. So it's really important as a larger community at large, it's important to have, I feel, some sort of music and music training. And I must say I'm very disappointed in that the school systems dropped string playing in a lot of the schools. That's where I got my start, and it's given me this beautiful, enriched life as a musician, and so a lot of the people don't have that opportunity to learn strings in that environment, because it's important to get started somewhere. But as I'm saying, it's important for everybody to have some hand in musical experience, whether it's singing in a choir or a church or going to a concert and experiencing it, and there's all kinds of opportunities, and I think that music helps to glue people together as a larger family community.
Angela, you told that story about your son running in and hearing the song, but I'm wondering, is there a song that when you hear it, you just immediately think of your family?
Oh my goodness. Yes. When I was a very young girl, maybe 6, 7 tops, my father listened to music since the moment I was born. I'd come downstairs with my teddy bear and my blanket and sit on his knee and talk to him in the morning. He'd always have classical music playing. He said he was a professional listener. And at the very end of the record of the Paganini Violin Concerto, there was this little space left where they recorded this piece for violin and piano, Paganini's Cantabile. My mother turned to me and said, "This is the piece I want you to play at my funeral." And being a little girl, I was just shocked. It's like, well, you're never going to die. I've never thought about her passing. My grandparents were alive, so that stuck with me. My mother played viola in a symphony orchestra, a community orchestra, until she was 87. She lived to be 95. And sure enough, I learned this absolutely breathtaking, beautiful Paganini's Cantabile. And that I was extremely nervous, which was very surprising. But from the day of, it was a total connection. So I would say that piece for me is the one that connects me to my mother. And to go back to the performance with the community orchestra, I unfortunately lost my dad when I was 3 months pregnant with our first. And during the slow movement of spring, I was completely connected with my father. We were performing in a church, and I'm a spiritual person, and I just had an out-of-body experience where I was playing, but not at all connected with the technical aspects or the notes or the bow changes or anything. I was far above everything, and I played to my father, who I felt his presence, and especially my mother, but other people asked me what happened in that moment, during that movement. It was just heavenly. It was exquisite. My mom said she'd never ever heard me play like that ever before. So that would be my piece connecting me to my father.
We didn't really, like Angela said, we didn't really listen to music in the household because it put our brains into work mode. So we needed a break from music. So we didn't really have music that sort of glued the family together as a, hey, that's kind of like our family theme song. When I was a kid, my parents played the radio 27 hours a day, and it was always like pop music. At the time, it was pretty awesome because it was disco music, which had a lot of amazing violin and string parts in it. So I used to love listening to that. And ironically or not, I ended up playing that for the last 22 years in these tribute shows. We're playing all that music that I listened to when I was a kid. But as I said, we don't really have a family theme song. But I honestly thought Angela was going to say, is she like the Carpenters? No. Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together. I thought that was going to be her answer.
To oh, my gosh. Now I'm really embarrassed.
Yeah. So that would be our theme song if we had one.
We've been married for over 35 years. And we're more in love now than we were ever. Like, it's just, we're just so, so grateful.
We play in tune together as humans as well as musicians.
That's true.
Yes, we're very in tune with each other.